Blog Talk Radio.
Especially when all you know how to do is hustle down here.
Lord, it's a miracle I'm still breathing down here. Lord, it's a battlefield down here. Lord, it's easy to get killed down here. So I keep my family near me down here and keep my bulletproof vest on. Thank you, Lord, for making Teflon down here. Cause the ghetto has a way of manipulating the children, tricking them into believing that life has no meaning down here, down here. Lord, if you see my grandmother up there, tell her I know she's disappointed in me, hates to see me in and out of jail. But tell her life ain't as heavenly here as it is up there. And I know it's probably lovely up there, but tell her I ain't in no rush to get up there. So I keep my pistols off safe state at home, cause I gotta protect and feed these babies. Lately it's been hell keeping my black ass from coming up there. So I'm thankful every day and pray my enemies don't roll down a man. Let me kicking and screaming up there. Oh, 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 mm-hmm. My people's gonna make it from down here to my people's who they made it up there. My people trying to make it to up and from down. Well, I am so glad that you have tuned in to Roderick Owensby, and I am Roderick Owensby. We are going to be dealing with the cruelty of jealousy. Jealousy is it's a terrible spirit, and I know that anyone that has dealt with jealousy, whether coming inward or an exit out of you, it is a spirit that will not allow you to experience the greater things in life. You know, jealousy can almost kill you. It's worse than death itself. So we're going to be talking about this jealousy, and I want you to know that there is healing if you are experiencing jealousy, if you would not be in denial, you understand? Because as most people that are jealous, the first thing is it's almost like a person that has a drinking problem, or worse, a gossiping problem. You say, well, how can you compare drinking with gossip? Well, when you read 2 Timothy 2:16, you find that right there in the 16th verse, right under the verse that says study to show yourself approved unto God, not to your pastor, not to anyone else, but to God. And then it talks about not being ashamed because of the Holy Spirit rightly dividing the word. You understand, it is the Holy Spirit that does this. It's not human knowledge. It's not how much we know or think we know, except the Holy Spirit reveals it. It isn't the truth. And I know that's sort of hard to swallow, but the scripture says, let every man be a lie or a liar, be a lie, and God's word be true. So when it comes to truth, that is due to our Heavenly Father. So we're going to give you some rawness, as we always do, and give it to you straight. When people love you, ladies and gentlemen, they tell you the truth. When people hate you, they agree with your mess and they lie to you. So I love you, and so I'm going to be sharing about the spirit of jealousy. If you've been dealing with jealousy and you want to share about it, feel free to call me, 818-431-8553. That's 818-431-8553. And I'll be glad to talk to you. Just press 1 on your phone, your cell phone, and you will get through. If you don't want to speak, just call 818-431-8553 and listen in. I'm sure that it will be a help. I'm going to give you a spiritual example of jealousy. You know, it used to be evangelism was appreciated. Many of our leaders and pastors, you know, you have a church just about on every corner. Churches that like liquor stores. And of course, I'm not against it. Been in ministry 33 years, and I still feel like this is day one. You never get too busy for God, that you don't have time for God, and that way you know, you will always stay fresh. But many leaders and pastors are not sensitive to opening their course, their doors, because of the spirit of jealousy. Many pastors are jealous if someone comes in, and the way jealousy looks at things, does a greater job or has a greater anointing, which no one in the body of Christ is greater than the other. He that the greatest is the greatest must be the least. He is the least. But you know, many men and women do not look at it that way. If you come in and you have an effectiveness that comes from the Holy Spirit, or your grace is more visible than others, and not that anybody's grace is better than others, hear it right, hear it right. But from experience, a lot of leaders, head sheep, not head of the church, close their doors, except for someone that they really don't feel threatened by. This is caused by
jealousy. And from the beginning of the times, we, have seen with Cain and Abel, the spirit of jealousy jumped in there first. And wherever there's jealousy, there's some type of death, spiritual, or even it has caused some to even leave here because of jealousy, because of love-hate relationships, because of things that has happened in people's lives. So jealousy is a terrible spirit, and we're going to hit it head strong. And we want you to know that you can know that God is against jealousy. But understand, when God said he is a jealous God, you see, you and I didn't make this world. You and I didn't create the moon, the stars, the sun. God said, I am a jealous God. And his love is so fierce. In the Old Testament, you can read where the word of God would declare that the people, Israel, kindled God's anger, his jealousy. So if God said, I'm jealous, then you have to know jealousy exists. Listen, healing for the soul. Jealousy is common in some situations. God even said that he was a jealous God. However, we must understand when a person is jealous of God sent help. 1 Corinthians 12, and I want to read that. I want to read that 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. I'm going to get my Bible because I want to read that. 1 Corinthians 12, 28. And you're going to see there that many, many leaders don't agree with God. Oh, it's such a sadness. But there is a harvest that's greater than what people have ever seen. 1 Corinthians 12 and 28 says this, and God has set some in the church first apostles. Oh, you must be kidding. See, this has nothing to do with rank. This has to do with a graceful order. These are the graces of God, the fivefold ministry, as people call them. You don't have to call it that, but that's what people call it. These are the graces of God. He said in verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 12, it says, and God has set some in the church first apostles. So what many pastors have done since God said first in the church, and I got my corporation together, and so I'm going to call myself an apostle. And then I won't have to accept any other person who really has the grace of an apostle. And you will know if the church has the grace of an apostle. There's a weight to it. There's an anointing to it. And there's a spirit of correction and spirit of government. And the apostles have the mind of Christ concerning the structure of the body of Christ. Paul said, I travail until Christ be formed in you. He said, I travail until Christ be formed in you. So you will know the signs and wonders of an apostle. But many leaders have closed the doors and called themselves apostles. God never actually meant for a pastor, a person, to call himself pastor and go and plant a church. Now, a lot of leaders won't like that, but this is out of order, and this has caused chaos. It's no different than a man too young, a young man, and starting a family before he understands what he's getting or her getting into. This has happened in the body of Christ. Many have started a godly family without understanding the structure of it, but because they saw a position and they wanted that position so that they can receive some honor or income. So it has caused a lot of spiritual bastards to be born. So we have a lot of children now that are being birthed from rebellious spiritual pastors who are still just in adolescence, and it has caused a lot of trouble in the body of Christ. So 1 Corinthians 12 and 28, first apostles. God called apostles. What the apostles do, they set the tone for the church because of a special message God has given them. It can't be copied. Some have taken Christ and begin to teach Christ without the Spirit of Christ. And so there will be a great repentance in days to come. Secondarily, prophets. There are pastors who say it. Let me show you an example. Moses' sister came against him. And there were people who came against Moses and said, listen, God talks to us too. So that spirit, God talks to us too, have taken control of many local bodies. And so God talks to us too. Hear me and hear God through me is not an excuse for causing the body of Christ to be without foundation. So he said, first I said apostles. That's the graces, the grace of an apostle. And secondarily, prophets. Okay? So he said prophets. And so that's why the people of God are not really prospering like it should. While the world is experiencing a downturn in economics, the body of Christ shouldn't. This is the time that the body of Christ should prosper. Hear me, pastors. Hear me. I love you. But something is wrong when the church is not thriving and prospering. I'm not talking about off of a religious, false prophetic prosperity message. I'm not talking about the greedy dogs that's found in Isaiah. I'm talking about, according to the book of Acts, when they laid the money at the apostles' feet, distribution was given. And so should no one in a particular body have to go to the world to receive financial assistance or housing, the church should be providing those things. How dare it? The scripture says, how dare you take a fellow believer to an unjust judge? And many leaders have preached that. Well, what about a tithe paying, as we call it, believer having to go to the unjust to receive help? Something is wrong with that picture. And so the whole structure of the body of Christ need to be reconsidered. Many pastors need to stop for a moment and take a look at the foundation of your ministry and ask yourself, why are you the only person that's looked to for the Word of God? Interesting, isn't it? Now, so the Word of God declares secondarily prophets, I'm in 1 Corinthians 12:28, and then thirdly teachers. Then after that, miracles, and then gifts of healings. Now here's one. Helps. All kinds of helps that God sent in the church. Governments, diversities of tongues are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret tongues, covet the best gift, and yet I'll show you a more excellent way, which is love. Now, in other words, because of love, not everyone is an apostle or prophet or have those graces, but everyone should be in the body of Christ, a believer, and everyone should have love. So God covers it. So if a pastor, a person, male or female, rejects this gospel that I've just read to you, and you're in the church where these graces are not in operation, guess what? Pray for repentance and pray for inner revival in leadership, or you really need to consider praying to the Holy Ghost to lead and guide you to somewhere where you can get the whole role and not just a piece of it. You know what a church is like? That doesn't operate in these graces or close the door to prophets, close the door to the things that God says. Let me explain something to you. It's like seeing a car without any knowledge, and you're looking at it, and it looks so beautiful. Ooh, you like the way that automobile is shaped. You like the color. You like the interior. You like all of those things. Okay? You get inside it. It has a CD player, a navigation system. I mean, it is loaded. And then you open the hood, and there's no engine. In many houses, there's no engine. You cannot run a car off of just one piston. You cannot have a basketball team and have one person playing five more. Come on. So that's confusion. And so many pastors, and I want to say this, I have kinfolk that disagree with God's word and yet preach Christ. So I'm telling you that there is a need for many pastors to reconsider the structure of the church and just quit being rebellious. Quit being rebellious and do it God's way. Now, what God is doing, he's looking at the jealousy in the body of Christ. I warn you. Worldwide, you see, judgment begins at the what? House of God. So I pray that what I have just shared, that you, dear leaders, that you will consider and go back, take some time off and study the word of God again. So you could be in something for a little bit and think you have it all together. With the spirit of Absalom, that says, I can do it. I don't need help. I don't even need God's help. That's what you're saying when you don't accept the word of the Lord. Now, I'll be right back. We're going to look at the cruelty of jealousy. I wanted to give you a foundation so that you would understand where we are going with this word. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Elisha William Ornsby. My dad will be with you shortly. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Be strong and of good courage. Only be thou strong and very courageous. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, may observe to do according to all that is written therein, and you shall have good success. And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's my dad, Roderick Owens.
I want you to go with me to Genesis chapter 4, verse 8, and I want to show you the cruelty of jealousy. And I'm going to turn in my word, and I want you to follow with me. So go to Genesis chapter 4, and I want you to look at something with me. Chapter 4, verse 8. It says this. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. It is telling us that jealousy starts within the family. You know what? Most families are so separate and separated due to jealousy. And you will always know who is carrying this spirit. Because the ones that are carrying the spirit are in a group. It's usually the one that seems like is alone, but yet not alone. It's usually the one that seems like they don't want to have anything to do with the family. Because let's be honest. Once you give birth, mothers, to your child, and you train up that child in the way that that child should go, that when that child becomes an adult, your job is through. Now, you can continue to pray. But many parents make the mistake of trying to be what they were during the child's birth, from the birth until the child becomes a man or a woman. Listen, you have to switch up with your children. I'm trying to help you now. Because when they are grown, they have to make their own decision. They see things for themselves. See, what you see as a child, as you grow up, you start seeing things. And it's not to judge, but reality sets in. Then you realize, oh, mama and daddy have sinned too. Oh, eat it. It's good for you. Mom and dad have made mistakes also. My God. Reality sets in. So parents, understand that your children grow up and their eyes become open. That's why when you read Ephesians 6 and 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It gives us promise of long life. Now, when you look at Ephesians 6 and 2, somebody done grew up, and it says honor. When you become an adult, you honor. Now, this is where jealousy comes in, because you have some in the family that think honoring the parents means that you don't have your own thoughts or opinions about certain things. And if you express them, then you're dishonoring, especially in the case when it comes to mothers. Listen, mothers, your child is not dishonoring you because, see, now they're not in that Sunday school mode. They're learning the word of God for themselves. And so you have to be open to how God deals with your children, not just one of them, but all of them. But many parents make a difference with their children once they grow up. And if you don't feel threatened, then you're okay with them. But if you feel threatened, then you'll see it in little ways. Now, I speak with boldness. I speak with clarity and boldness. Read your Bible. You'll see evil fathers and evil mothers. So, parents, and listen, tonight is really the school of parenting. See, the church is letting all types of corporations raise the children now. Instead of the church being the judge, we're letting everybody else judge. Because the many people in the body of Christ are spoiled and can't handle the truth. The truth upsets a whole lot of tongue talkers, devil chasing. So-called believers. So you have to understand, when your child becomes an adult, accept that God deals with them. So jealousy in this chapter of Genesis 4 and 8, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. The first murder. Cain's religion was to refine, watch this, to kill a lamb, listen closely, but not to culture, to murder his brother. God's way of salvation fills the hearts with love. So if you walk with God, your heart is filled with love. Man's way of salvation inflames it with hatred. Religion has ever been the greatest cause of bloodshed, even till this day. Because along with a religious spirit comes what? Pride. Pride. Arrogance. God deals with me too. Kind of attitude. And when the people came against Moses, his own family came against Moses, God let them know that he doesn't like that. And you'd be surprised how many houses have Ichabod on them. And they still shouting, dancing, still preaching, prophesying to the same folks every Sunday, all through the week. And the Holy Ghost is not there. And then they condense things down to, if somebody get up and cry, oh, the Spirit is moving. Ooh, the Lord has moved today because somebody crying. They may be crying because of their sins. So you have to, when you rebel against God, the slightest emotion becomes the presence of the Lord was with us. What happened? Oh, we danced, we shouted. Whoo, the glory of God just filled the place, along with the music and the circus type dancing music. See that? That hypnotizes you if you're not careful. Come on. And you'll be sitting in church and that titu. Come on. And you start patting your feet. Next thing you know, the organ will hit. And then you end up dancing. Woo! You end up shouting. And you could tell religious places, they'll get out, they'll be in the back of the church. As soon as they shout, they'll run up to the front. Come on. Because I want folks to see me dance. Come on. When I was a child, I acted as a child. I'm talking about myself. I did things because I saw others do it. So when the emotions was high, the only thing I knew to do is do the funky chicken. Come on. If it looks like a duck, crack like a duck. Either somebody's imitating a duck or it's a duck. So you do what you see. But when you grow up, you thank God for mother. And when I say mother, I'm talking about whatever church gave birth to you, whatever denomination gave birth to you. I'm not saying condemn them, but I'm saying this. Listen, you got to do like Moses. You got to say, I'd rather suffer with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of life with the wicked. And you got to be willing to leave Pharaoh's house. You can sing, "We Shall Overcome," until the sun goes down. But if you're still in Pharaoh's house, you're still in bondage. If you are still in Pharaoh's house, you're still in bondage. Mm-hmm. So here's what happened. After Cain slew his brother, verse 9 of Genesis 4, and the Lord said unto Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" And he said, "I know not." Look at families. Where's your so-and-so brother? I don't know. Watch it now. Cain said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" Cain showed himself as a liar, didn't he? When he said, "I know not." Wicked and profane in thinking he could hide from God. Unjust in denying himself to be his brother's keeper. Think about obstinate and desperate in not confessing his sin. Verse 10, watch this. And he, this is God, said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries unto me from the ground." Watch this. And then you can see some scriptural evidence that Cain cut his brother's throat. Thus, with the first shedding of human blood, the ominous thought sprang up, divinely bestowed, that the earth will grant no peace to the one who has stained the earth's face with the life stream of man. That's the blood. Verse 11, and now are you cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. You see that? Cain murdered his brother and is now cursed. The first curse leveled by God against a human being. Verse 12. When you till the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto you her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall you be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from your face shall I be hid. Listen to this. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone who finds me shall seek to kill me. And the Lord said unto him, listen to this close. Therefore, whosoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. So Cain was allowed, he was allowed to live in order that he might be a perpetual warning to others that the blood of their fellow men must not be spilled. However, very few heeded this warning, even until this present day. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest any find him should kill him. Now, we're not told what the mark was, but evidently everyone knew. And look what Cain did. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden. The word Nod means wandering. The majority of the human race until this day wanders because they don't know God and therefore have no peace. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Enoch, and he built a city and called the name of that city after the name of his son, Enoch. Now, that's amazing that even Enoch was born through Cain. So, jealousy, terrible spirit. I want to read to you something else about jealousy. The Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse 6. It reads here from King James Version, Solomon 8 and 6. It reads this, set me as a seal upon thine heart, as a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath a most vehement flame. Another translation says, always keep me in your heart and wear this bracelet to remember me by. The passion of love is bursting into flame, is more power than death, stronger than the grave. And from the Message Bible, it reads like this. Hang my locket around your neck, wear my ring on your finger. Love is invincible, facing danger and death. Passion laughs at the terrors of hell. The fire of love stops at nothing. It sweeps everything before it. I'm going to say something that may blow your mind. Where you find love, you will find some form of jealousy. Some form of jealousy. What is jealousy? You ever find yourself resenting someone for no apparent reason? Most likely, you may be holding jealousy or envy of that person. Usually when someone is jealous, what follows jealousy is denial. It plays a great part, especially in family members. Especially family. No, I'm not jealous. You think everybody's jealous of you. You always, Let's prove it. I just did. Cain, in denial. First thing Cain did was denied that he knew what had happened, and he knew what he had done. But in the presence of God, he said, I don't know where Abel is. Listen, repentance is the medicine for jealousy. Changing the ways is a medicine. It will bring healing. Denial will keep jealousy alive. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
You can run, but there's no hiding place you can't deny. Don't try to fight, cause we love you, and there is nothing you could ever do about it. If you get off track, turn around and come right back, because we love you, and there is nothing you could ever do about it. If you lose your way, you still got a place to stay, so touch somebody, find out that they understand. When you tell them what you've been through, who you are, what you had to do, even when you hear them say that the God we serve has made a way for you to lay your burden down, rest and make a joyful sound, because we love you. There is nothing you could ever do, oh no, about it. If you get off track, turn around and come right back, because we love you, and there is nothing you could ever do about it. If you lose your way, you still got a place to stay, so hug somebody now. Hold tight till you let it out. Somebody's gonna stand right here and wipe away every tear. And if you need a friend, don't you wait outside, you can come on in. But even if you take your time, don't rush, it'll be alright, because we love you, and there is nothing you could ever do about. If you get off track, turn around and come right back, because we love you, and there is nothing you could ever do about it. If you lose your way, you still got a place to stay, so just love. No fear.
Always for me.
You know, there's a misconception about jealousy. And that misconception was explained to me by my father, Osene Owensby, mighty man of God. He told me about an incident when he was in high school. And there were some guys who wanted to fight him. And for no apparent reason to Dad. And Dad said he went to the principal's office, and although he was a boxer, he knew how to avoid certain things, especially when he was in school. He respected authority. He went to his principal. He explained what was trying to take place. The principal gave him something powerful that my father passed down to those who heard it. He said the principal said to him, he said, my dad named Osene. You that heard last night, we did a tribute to my father. He said to my father, he said, Osain, he said, you don't have to have a lot of material things for someone to be jealous of you. He said, people could be jealous of the way you carry yourself. People could be jealous of the way you look, the way you deal with people, the favor you have, or the, my dad taught me, or the anointing on your life. So in other words, the greatest misconception to jealousy is that you have to be super successful. You know what most people get wrong and they fall? People win the lottery and they lose it. You see them on television. When people become rich, famous, and then lose everything, you see them in a drug rehab. Because money never is a sign of wealth. Please hear it. Money is not a sign of wealth. Money is not a sign of happiness. Where you live, what you drive. No. Wealth is one thing and one thing only. Listen, the ability to love and forgive. The ability, God-given now, ability to love and forgive. You are a wealthy person. But if you spend your time with the sickness of gossip and dogging out people, you are broke. I don't care how much money you have. You're broke, tore up. If you speak of people to slander them, I'm not talking about wisdom. I'm not talking about constructive criticism. But if you seek to slander someone, you are a broke person. We're going to continue this jealousy. Today was just a foundation. I promise you this is hot. And the body of Christ needs it. And people need it all over. People need it all over. Yeah, stay away from jealousy.
If I could give you the world on a silver platter, would it even matter? You'd still be mad at me if I could find in all this a dozen roses, which I would give to you. You'd still be miserable. Here we are.
Hate on me, hater. Now or later, 'cause you're gonna feel me. You'll be
Well, today, this evening, we dealt with murder, which is the first sign of jealousy, the cruelty of it. And with that goes denial. Eight things that will be produced by jealousy I will be dealing with tomorrow. It will cause division. Now, this murder, we talked about Cain and Abel, this is natural and spiritual. But to keep yourself away from the effects of jealousy, and you can sense it when it comes against you, you renounce that spirit and bind that spirit. You don't resent the people. You come against and use your kingdom authority, and this is how you do it. You condemn every tongue that rises up against you in judgment. Thou shalt condemn. And you confess that, and you walk in your authority. Tomorrow, same time, 9 p.m. Eastern, we will continue our series on the cruelty of jealousy.
If I could give you the world on a silver platter, would it even matter? You'd still be mad at me if I could find an old bitch, a dozen roses, which I would give to you.